So sleep is usually one of the things that starts to go downhill, and it's a slippery slope that women don't notice is sneaking up on them until they're exhausted and they can't really pinpoint like where it started. And I really like sleep trackers. And so again, I'm a big data person. Femdivity Health is a really big data person, co-founder in data collection. And so there are a couple really great trackers for sleep specifically. The Oura Ring is one.
Welcome to another episode on Connect, Inspire, Create. I am your host, Carol Clegg, and I love to explore entrepreneurial journeys with my guests. So I hope that you will find inspiring tools to help you take action in your business, along with some mindset motivation for your mental fitness and a sprinkling of mindset. So let's dive in together and find inspiration to take action in our business. Welcome, Kristen, and thank you for being part of the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am so looking forward to what we have to share with you. So I'd love to tell our audience just a little bit about you. And Kristen Milan is a board-certified nurse midwife with over 20 years of experience in the women's health field. She is an expert in menopause and feminine longevity, and is the co-founder of Femgivity, which we are going to dig into, and the reason why and how that came to be, which it is a telemedicine company focused on providing concierge care for menopause and longevity. So I know that your expertise lies in pregnancy, childbirth, menopause, and this feminine longevity, and that you do believe and support that every woman deserves a respected, gentle, supported, and personalized experience when it comes to their healthcare. And your philosophy is rooted in the belief that healthcare should be individualized and that each patient should be empowered, right, to take these informed decisions about their health. I know that you've been recognized for your contributions to the field of women's health. Congratulations, and all the several medical journals. And then I love this little personal part about you, Kristen, that you said as a California native, you love surf, snow, hanging with your family in northern New Jersey. And then your love of anthropology and people has led you to travel and explore almost everything. And I love this comparison. I hope you don't mind if I share these, but you're a morning person who enjoys chocolate over vanilla, with you on that one. Coffee over tea, yes. Dogs over cats, mine sleeping at my feet. And then thrillers over horror, Marvel over DC Comics, and spicy over mild. I love those comparisons. You should be with me here in New Mexico. We have green and red chili on everything from breakfast to dinner. But I would love to just ask you a question or two just to let our audience know a little bit about you. And these are just fun questions, but when I ask you who has been the kindest to you, either recently, looking back over your whole life, who immediately springs to mind?
So my Aunt Rose is probably the person that, like, when you said that she came to my mind the most. She really was very kind to me. She passed away almost 10 years ago now, in 2013. She was my father's aunt, so my great aunt. And she never had children of her own, and she was very kind to my father and very, very kind to me, always very generous with her time and love and money and advice. And that's who I think of first for kindness.
What a beautiful memory. What a treasure to be able to have that, and for her to have left that legacy with you. So thank you for sharing that. And I was going to ask you, when are you most productive? But you've already told me you're a morning person. But other than the morning, does mindset come into productivity for you, or is it just time of day? What helps you be productive?
Yeah, I definitely think I find myself naturally ebbing to the mornings. I like the solitude and the quietness and the darkness of the morning. I used to work out in the morning, and then kind of when I really tuned in and listened to what my body and my mind was telling me, I work out kind of almost midday now, which I think gives me like a little bit of a pick me up also into the afternoon, where I think some people can kind of, and I was, this definitely happened to me. I would get a slump, like a post-lunch slump. I understand why they take siestas in Europe, because I'm like, I totally get that. But if I work out midday, I find that it helps me to be productive like into the evening. But definitely the morning, I'm like, oh, sometimes I just don't want these mornings to end. It hits 9 or 10
Right.
and I'm like, oh, let's go back to 5 a.m.
I'm with you on the mornings, and I love what you just shared. I think I should try that because sometimes I go, we have such precious time in the morning and we're in that state of flow, and then we kind of give it up to exercise where we are already energized. So I like that. I think I'm going to give that a try. That to because I'm a nap person. I need my 30 minutes, quick pick me up sort of around lunchtime, or even 15 minutes just to sort of zone out and not come back again. That so I love that. But Kristen, I'd love to find out more about, you said your woman's health journey started when you were working at Donor as a trained doula in Maryland, and then that's taken you on this journey. Fill us in a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I really like my story. I used to kind of not feel empowered by my own story because I am a certified nurse midwife and I'm not a doctor. I'm not an OBGYN. And that has led to some judgments, I think, in the medical community with patients, with friends, with family. And when I think about it now, like back on it, I'm like, oh, it was such a wise and kind choice for myself and a compassionate choice for myself because unknowingly, I made that decision at a young age to pursue being a certified nurse midwife instead of an OBGYN because when I looked at the paths of both, I really wanted to work with women during childbirth and in a holistic way and in a, having medicine, but also having like traditional remedies and thoughts and feelings and emotions passed down through centuries of healthcare. And I looked down the path and I saw the long path to medicine, the 4 years of medical school, then 4 years of residency, then training. And it looked like a very long time. And I knew I wanted to also be a mother and be a family person and devote time to my spouse, my partner, and growing a family. And I have a large family. I have 4 kids. And so I'm so glad that I did that. And part of it started when I was when I was in Maryland and I worked with DONA, which is the Doulas of North America. It's an organization. I became a trained DONA doula. And that's when the path kind of opened to me, like the choice of certified nurse midwife or being an OBGYN. And I think if I hadn't ever been a doula and saw that like very like emotionally supportive, holistic side of childbirth, I wouldn't have seen midwives and like what they really do. Because so many people hear I'm a midwife and they're like, oh, do you give birth? Do you attend births at home? When actually more than 90% of certified nurse midwives in the US attend births in the hospital and work very similarly to how an OBGYN works. So that's kind of how I've kind of arrived to where I am now.
That's such an empowering story, and thank you for sharing that for others that are listening. Because I can, I just visualize that. You talk about all those years that you take to get certified, and you were able to move into your passion a lot sooner, a lot earlier, and to contribute and
Exactly.
grow and learn. And I had a doula with me in hospital for the birth of my daughter, and it was fantastic. It was just there is just this gentleness and this connection and this support that just empowers you as a mom giving birth. So I'm thrilled
Yeah,
that you
and
took
I
that
would
journey.
say to anyone listening, like I really followed my passion and that really paid off because my passion was to get to working with women as fast as possible. And I've had in my career, I've had no limitation of jobs or really ceiling on income because I was able to follow my passion. I really believe in that, like following your highest excitement to the best of your ability and letting go of assumptions and insistences. If you just kind of get into the flow of what you're doing and the passion of what you're doing, it works out. And so I was able to connect with a high-risk perinatologist. And we started a business together, and it was a cash pay out of network business. And it ended up being incredibly lucrative, both for myself and him and the patients because of the type of care we were able to provide. It was a very, very beautiful thing. And, I was able to make more money than a lot of my OBGYN counterparts. And so I think it's a really good story that like I kind of let go of the prestige of being a doctor or being an MD or the title or the ego. And then I was able to kind of embrace the the reality and like go with the flow. And it worked out more beautifully and more better than I could have imagined, I think, if I had gone into traditional like allopathic medicine.
That's beautiful. That really is. Oh my goodness. So I know that you have now started Femgivity with a partner. Can you just give me, before we dive into some questions about the healthcare and supporting women and what they need, what is Femgivity?
So Femgevity Health is a concierge telemedicine platform for women that are working with menopause, perimenopause, or are interested in feminine longevity. And I say feminine longevity very specifically because a lot of longevity medicine or medicine that's focused on kind of like biohacking is very male dominated and male focused currently. And so we really wanted to, my co-founder, Michelle Wispaway, and I wanted to create something that was really focused on women specifically.
Wonderful. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that at the end. But what deficits do you currently see in the women's health care? I mean, I know this prompted you to go down this path, but what
Yeah.
did you identify in the beginning as a struggle?
So unfortunately, so many things, but optimistically, we've come a really long way. So just when I started 20 years ago, women didn't talk about their fertility struggles and their fertility challenges and journey. And we do a lot more now. I mean, there's still probably more work to be done, but there's a lot more support, community, normalcy around women that are having that challenge. And similarly with miscarriage and how women experience miscarriage and experience loss in pregnancy, there's, you know, again, still probably a lot of work that can be done, but we've come so far than when I started in 2003. Like nobody talked about it. It was totally taboo. And menopause, I think, and perimenopause specifically, because we don't even talk about perimenopause at all. I think that's kind of a new phenomenon that's coming around now. But with menopause, women were really gaslit for a long time. Like, you're just getting older. There's nothing to do about it. Don't there, you know, estrogen's going to cause breast cancer, which it doesn't. And they were kind of left to just kind of suffer silently, figure it out. And the generation above, kind of like, you know, people call it the boomer generation, or the women who are in their 60s now and 70s and 80s, definitely didn't talk about what they went through, or they're like, I can't remember. That's kind of what I hear a lot with women that I'm working with now. I'm like, well, how was it for your mom? And they're like, oh, she says it didn't happen, or she can't remember, or she doesn't remember feeling anything, or she had a couple hot flashes and that was it. And so that's really where I see the significant need now. I did a lot of work in my earlier career with menopause and perimenopause, but with a lot of birth and childbirth and around the fertility and the reproductive time of a woman's life. But now my clientele is getting older and my patients are getting older, and so their needs have changed. And so I'm adapting and changing with them, and it's really fun to kind of
That.
be working in this way.
So when I hear what you're saying, this incredible change over this long period of time and it now becoming, what do you see as the future in this menopausal healthcare and the peri? As you say, that is just so important that it gets swept under the rug. What are you hoping to see in the future for this?
Well, when I look to what has happened in the past, I'm hopeful that that's also going to happen to perimenopause and menopause health. So we have now seen the emergence of reproductive clinics and fertility clinics and the specialty and the fellowship that comes with reproductive endocrinology. And similarly, we saw a lot of big changes with breast health. And so now we have breast specialists. So women are doctors, not just women doctors, but male doctors too, that specialize in breast health. And I think that that's going to also happen with perimenopause and menopausal health because it's so vast, so broad, affects so many women. You know, over 1 billion women are expected to be in menopause by 2025. So it's this huge need. And it
Wow.
makes sense to me that that's going to be another specialty that kind of
Right.
spins out of medicine.
And 2025 is just around the corner. I mean, that's right. So you talk about testing patients on their individual level. What does that look like? Is
This
that
is like
something?
my favorite
Okay.
thing is, I just think that you know, I have never met a woman that does anything the same as another woman when it comes to women's health. So I just love really working with women on a very individual, very, very basic level and customizing their care and tailoring their care to them, because there's so many different compartments and specialties and little parts to healthcare. So I always say that each woman is like a Van Gogh or a Monet or a Picasso painting, so unique that it really requires its own breath strokes, its own colors. Everything needs to be so uniquely handled in the order that it's handled in. So we can't really make assumptions. Yeah, there's generalizations. You know, perimenopause comes with a certain cluster of symptoms, and menopause comes with a certain cluster of symptoms. But more often than not, I find that women don't conform to these norms. And I'm just not surprised by that anymore. And I love working with women in that way.
So it's kind of exploring, and I love that visual, that picture. It's so gentle of painting in brushes, as opposed to saying we're all like snowflakes. Each one of us is different, but we are sort of a painting, and to empower once again, and then to explore that you have different areas that you need to learn about, which they can journey with you, and then find remedies that are. You talk about hormone replacement therapy. HRT, helping relieve menopause symptoms. Are there risks involved with that? Do they outweigh the benefits? Where does that come into what you share with your clients?
Yeah, so yes and no. So any hormone, so I think a really good way to kind of describe it is like with insulin. So a lot of people are familiar with the concept of insulin and diabetes. So insulin is a hormone, and if you have too much insulin or not enough insulin, you'll die. So it's a pretty significant side effect. But getting insulin just right is really important for health and homeostasis and maintaining optimal operating levels. And the same thing is true when it comes to hormone replacement for women when we're talking about sex steroid hormones. And so if we have too much, there are going to be risks. If we have too much estrogen, we know that that's going to increase our chance of having endometrial or uterine cancer. If we don't balance the progesterone in the right way, it could also lead to things like breakthrough bleeding or high estrogen symptoms like breast tenderness, nausea and vomiting, you know, similar symptoms that a woman would experience when she's pregnant and she's in a high estrogenic state. So, yes, there are side effects to replacing hormones, but as long as you're replacing them properly and in the right dosing, then you're going to get optimal health. And we know now that women who actually take estrogen or take hormone replacement therapy during the menopausal time in the menopausal years actually live longer. They can actually live up to 3 years longer than women who don't. They have significant reduction in cardiovascular disease, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's, dementia, and bone loss, which leads to fractures. So it's a big opportunity for women to kind
Right.
of take charge and take care of their health. Now, that's why, so my co-founder Michelle Wispelet is actually in the diagnostic lab space. So she worked in women's lab testing for many, many, many years. And that's a really significant piece of what we do at Femgevity Health, which is a lot of data collection and laboratory testing so that we can get the levels correct and we can get them right. And we're not just kind of like treating on symptoms, which is really kind of common in this space, is that a lot of and that's just because it's a new space and women's health has kind of been disregarded for a while.
Sidelines, right.
Yeah. But and so that's kind of how the current standard of care is to kind of treat without the data of laboratory information and to treat on symptoms. And it's not wrong. It's just at Femgevity Health, we don't feel like it's optimal so that we can get what you're saying and we don't get too much estrogen, too much testosterone for women, too much progesterone, too much hormone, which can lead to unwanted side effects and can potentially even be dangerous for a woman.
So it's, yeah, that's a journey together and taking both pieces of the puzzle and intertwining them. But I know that you mentioned, obviously, we're looking at menopause and we're talking a lot about menopause now and affecting mental health. What are some strategies that women can use to just help cope with anxiety and these mood swings that we hear so much about?
So that's a really great question. And my number one go-to answer is always to think about sleep. So sleep is usually one of the things that starts to go downhill, and it's a slippery slope that women don't notice is sneaking up on them until they're exhausted and they can't really pinpoint like where it started. And I really like sleep trackers. And so again, I'm a big data person. Femgevity Health is a really big data person, co-founder in data collection. And so there are a couple really great trackers for sleep specifically. The Oura Ring is one. I have one. I'm not
All
affiliated
right.
with them. I wish I was, but I'm not.
Okay.
The Apple Watch, the Whoop, these wearables will track sleep, and that can tell a woman before she starts to have symptoms that there's been some sort of slippery slope slide that could lead to then increased anxiety, increased depression, because when we're not getting deep sleep and we're not getting REM sleep, our brain just does not function at the same level. And I think something that we really see a lot of longevity is women have babies later. And so they're having babies
Yes.
in their late 30s and their 40s. And this is
Right.
when perimenopause is coming about. And then they're just thinking, oh, I'm just tired because I have
Right.
hormones running around. But in actuality, it's a hormone imbalance that can be corrected. We can correct the sleep deficiencies, we can correct the deep sleep deficiencies, and then that can help significantly with anxiety and depression and mood changes that women experience a lot in this time.
I love this because this is so coincidental. I use an app called Headspace, and they have just been talking about sleep, and I have a professor from some sleep institution who was sharing in this meditation of stopping to ask yourself the question, why is sleep important to you? And actually identifying, and it's funny because when I did that, it was like, well, my health. I realize that my body repairs itself and my cells repair itself. So the reason I'd love to sleep better is because of my health. And then you ask yourself the next question, well, why is your health and sleep important to you? And combining it and tracking it, well, I want to not be a burden on my family. I want to be here for my children. And my so it's just so interesting. I think I could do a whole thing on sleep because I don't think people realize the devastation, the damage, and it seems like such a simple thing. You just need sleep. But look how powerful and what sleep does for us. I love that.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
I think when I kind of put it this way, a lot of women are surprised when you think about like the basic human needs. You need to breathe, so we need breath work, and we
Right.
need water, but
What,
the
yeah.
next thing we actually need is we need to dream. So it's more important than food. You can go much longer without eating than you can without dreaming before it
Love that.
becomes so detrimental that it's affecting mental health. And ultimately, I mean, they do this sleep torture is a form of torture, and it can actually kill someone if they don't dream.
Wow. I'm going to ask you very quickly your thoughts on melatonin for older women.
So
Sorry.
I only use melatonin as a very, very last resort. And there's a lot of ways to enhance melatonin naturally. One of them is to go outside in the morning, right when you wake up, and look at the sun. And so that can actually help with cortisol levels. So releasing the right amount of cortisol levels that come in the morning, they're supposed to be pretty high. And then making sure that they fall appropriately in the nighttime so that melatonin can rise accordingly and come up. Melatonin is supposed to peak around 3 to 5 in the morning for most women. I mean, like I said, they're all paintings, so it could be different for
Right.
everybody. Wearing amber glasses, which are blue light blocking glasses, can increase melatonin sometimes 2 times. And so meditation has also been shown to increase melatonin as well as exercise. So I like to work with women in ways to increase their melatonin naturally before moving to the supplementation.
I just was when you mentioned dreams, and I'm thinking when I take melatonin, sometimes I have the strangest dreams. But I love the natural approach. And yeah, just getting oneself out and then we'll get on. But we could keep going. Vitamin D and sunshine and everything else. But this
Yes,
has been
absolutely.
fantastic. I think there's certainly a lot for people to take away. What would you hope that our listeners, if they had to take one thing away from listening to this episode, what would you love them to take
Oh, I would
away?
love for women to get their hormones checked. So to get the data on themselves. Yeah, because I think what happens is so many women wait until they're symptomatic, and that's usually long, long into something could have been picked up with data. So I would say get your
Fantastic.
hormones checked.
Well, I know that the place for people to find out more, we're going to put the link in the show notes for femgivityhealth.com. And as Kristen shared with us, it is a digital telemedicine company offering you, woman, access to personalized, either monthly or continuous, and affordable care that addresses your evolving menopause symptoms. So, Femgivity provides the continued medical support, the help, the advice beyond just menopause, as you have heard in this episode. So, I invite my listeners to at least pop by the website, take a look and see what you see. The other places to find out more about the company is on Instagram. And Kristen, tell me more about what happens. You've got something going every week on Instagram.
Yeah. So Instagram, I do a live Q&A with one of the women who's in our community, Aura, and we answer questions usually on Monday nights in between like 9 Eastern is kind of the general window, sometimes a little bit earlier, a little bit later, but we do announce it on the Instagram feed when we'll be on, and we answer live Q&A about questions that people ask us, like about melatonin or sleep, or how do I get my blood work tested? Like what type of testing should I even be looking for?
Fantastic. So I will make sure that we have those links in, but it is Instagram at Femgivity, so really easy to find. We have the LinkedIn company page for you. We have Facebook and we have YouTube. So there's a lot of ways to find out more. So thank you to everybody who's been listening to this episode. If our conversation has sparked some inspiration or some curiosity for you, I invite you to share this with others. There must be others in your community who could benefit from learning more about what this Femgivity can offer you and the care that you might be able to find. And then, of course, you have the Instagram. Pop in on a Monday night and get some of those questions answered. So, Kristen, thank you for joining me and sharing so much wonderful, powerful information.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And I just want to share with my listeners, in my role as an accountability coach, I do partner with women coaches and service providers in midlife to conquer procrastination, attain balance in their business endeavors, and nurture a positive mindset by blending personalized accountability with the powerful positive intelligence program. I help you discover tools to elevate your overall happiness and build powerful habits. If you have any inquiries, feel free to reach out to me. Until the next time, take care.